What's up, guys? Welcome to Sports Spectrum. I am Jason Romano. We got a little extra episode for you here today. I wasn't planning on doing this. I'm actually off today and spending some time with my daughter who's on spring break from college. But Sunday night, March 3rd, is when I'm recording this. And today I found out some sad news that my friend Chris Mortensen, longtime ESPN senior NFL insider, passed away at 72. Mort was just the best. I got to spend a lot of time with him, particularly from 2008 to 2015 when I was covering the NFL at ESPN as a talent booker and a social media guy. And I was in a room with Mort pretty much every Sunday during the NFL season, watching games with him and Chris Berman and Tom Jackson and Trent Dilfer and Adam Schefter and just some legends in that room, Matthew Berry. So many great people, Keyshawn Johnson, Chris Carter, Mike Ditka, like so many people that I got to watch football with on Sundays for many, many years. And Mort was one of those guys. And I just loved being around him. He always brought a smile to people's faces. But a lot of people didn't realize, I don't think, because how are you going to talk about faith in a war room on a Sunday watching NFL? But Mort was a devout follower of Jesus. And I was so thankful in 2019 when I invited Mort to come on Sports Spectrum, and he said yes. And I thought the best way to honor Chris Mortensen for me is to let you all hear his testimony of his faith in Jesus. He actually gets very emotional in sharing it, and we've had so many different shows over the years, obviously, and a lot of different listeners, even some new listeners, that many of you might not have been listening to Sports Spectrum back in February of 2019. So I thought, let's bring that conversation back, really just to honor Mort, honor my friend Chris Mortensen, who is just such a legend. And I can't imagine he's dancing with Jesus right now, which is what I think all of us want when we think about our relationship with Christ. So this is from February 20th, 2019, Chris Mortensen, ESPN, senior NFL insider, longtime legend, gone too soon at age 72, my friend, and this is him sharing his testimony in Jesus Christ. Take a listen. Share with us about that time and how you came to a faith in Jesus.
Yeah, this is a, I'm one of the rare statistics, by the data that's been gathered by, in terms of those who do come to Christ, because it wasn't until early 1994 that I actually accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And even then, I had, I met my wife, Mickey, in Atlanta. We were married in 1984, September 29th. She was a church-going lady.
Yeah.
And, even though I was born and raised in Los Angeles, and my mother, who was a Honduran immigrant, by the way, quite a lady. She's since passed, but I have three other brothers, and I do know this much. I always recognize from a very early age, and by early age, I mean, what's the age of our, we can remember things maybe when we're five or six, right? Before that,
yeah,
it's all a blur. But I always felt spiritually wired. It was probably because my mom, she would have a Billy Graham crusade on the black and white television, right?
Yeah.
At different times. And, we attended, we lived in, I was born in Inglewood, California. We lived in Hawthorne, which is nearby, for a while. We went to a First Baptist church. So just being in church, I always felt spiritually wired. As things evolved, and certainly my parents got divorced, and that was a really rough time for me. I was kind of at that age, 8 or 9 years old when they got divorced, and I was kind of like my, closer to my dad, who had a lot of demons. And if of all the four boys, if they all said, okay, who is most like dad, they would say me. That was not necessarily a good thing, even though I loved my dad,
right,
and he's also passed on. I always felt, listen, being spiritually wired was never an issue with me. I knew that I knew there was a God. I just didn't know, especially as I went through adolescence, a rebellious adolescence period, and then went into young adulthood, which was definitely not anything that anything that would be reflective of any faith or even goodness, I wasn't necessarily, I know I wasn't a shining example, but when I met Mickey and she was, came from a church going family, and she used to basically try to get me to go to church with her. I wouldn't do it. I passed on it. The one thing that she did say, you know, she asked me if it was okay for us to pay tithing, you know, in other words, 10% of what we earned, which, you know, wasn't a lot. I wasn't making a lot of money. I mean, I was working at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution at the time. It didn't matter. 10% was 10%. And actually, the concept of tithing is something my mom had taught me and taught us a long time ago. And so just by that simple act of telling her, yeah, you know, well, let's pay tithing. That's fine. I have no objection.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I started going to church. And this time, we are now in Atlanta at this point. I moved from I'm in Atlanta, and we're going to a place called First Baptist in Douglasville, Georgia. And the pastor was a man named Dr. John Pennington. And, you know, he would come over and visit, and he'd try to present the gospel to me. And I was very courteous, but I certainly was had a hard heart. And that went on for a few years, Jason. And there were a lot of different things I was struggling with. And then, you know, November 24th, 1985. So if I got married in September 29th, 1984, November 24th, 1985 was a really unique day for me, because it was the day my son Alex was born. Mm-hmm. And anybody who has experienced the birth of a child, if you don't feel, if you don't feel like this is a miracle, then you're missing on something. Something's wrong. You're missing something in your life. But that, you know, to see your child born, to experience, you know, the miracle of life, it kind of, let me put it this much, it ramped up the spiritual wiring in me, and as I became more willing to go to church, participate in Sunday school, do some Bible study. But then it was the whole concept of, you know, especially the First Baptist concept of, okay, I got into the theology part, which is a mistake, by the way. I think that when you get wrapped up too much in theology, you're missing the only picture, which is Jesus himself,
yeah,
and Christ, and what does it mean. And then, you know, I always thought that, hey, you know, I'm a reporter. You know, you identified me as an NFL insider, but I was a reporter. Yeah. It wasn't what I intended to do in life, by the way. I intended to teach and coach. That was what I was going to do, but I took a left turn, many left turns in my life. And I always felt like, you know, if I could share anything with people who are not believers, or who believe that, you know, the whole concept of God or Jesus is just nonsense, I would think, well, before you declare it that, what could be the most important question that you can ask yourself in life? And as a reporter, you ask a lot of questions, right?
Yeah.
And to me, it kind of starts off with one question leads to three or four or five other questions, which is there a God? I think if you are willing to at least kind of seek an answer to that question, is there a God, then I think I know you're cheating yourself. I would certainly want to know the answer to that. And, of course, in this matter, the mechanics of how are you going to find that answer? And then if there is a God, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And then is Jesus who he said he is or was at the time he walked the earth?
Yeah.
And what does that mean? So there's four questions right there, I think. And I sought those answers. I you know, it's back when, for some reason, we didn't seem quite as busy as we do right now, Jason.
Yeah.
We have so many things to distract us from those questions. And I really think, hey, listen, when you're in church, when you're in the Word, when you're studying it, and then it's a matter of, okay, you know, what's it mean to be born again? What does that mean? And, you know, that I was hung up on that a little bit, you know. And it was just a remarkable day. One day at woke up to go to Sunday school, and this is sometime early 1994. This is post-football season, I believe.
Yep.
And I can just remember feeling, amazingly, I would say amazingly happy and amazingly emotional. I mean, very emotional, and I didn't know where the emotion was coming from. I mean, all I'm doing is getting ready to go to church, but when the pastor makes the altar calls, and I wasn't, by the way, I didn't like altar calls. I didn't. When they ask people to come forward, accept Christ as your Savior, pray to receive Him into your heart, basically surrender your life to Him and let Him live through you. That part, I had to work through stuff like that, and I can remember Mickey and I like to sit like either in the first or second row. This day, I think I was in the first row. She always liked to say, if Christ were here, I'd want to be sitting right at His feet. So I prefer to sit in the first row.
That's good.
And so, listen, it was during that time, and I knew, during that meeting, I knew that I was going to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. There's something was stirred in me. I wasn't, I was pretty sure, but when Dr. Pennington, when John Pennington, made that altar call, it was almost as if I got shoved out of my seat. And nobody touched me. And next thing I know, I was in his arms. And so it's still an emotional day to this day, of the day that I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And what was remarkable about that day is that I can remember the church, First Baptist, Douglasville, a lot of applause. And I kind of peeked over my shoulder, and a lot of people standing on their feet. And I said, what's up with that? Because now, maybe because I'm at the time, listen, I begin my ESPN journey, so I am a little more visible. But then again, my personality is a little bit out there. I am a type A, type double A personality. And as it turned out, Mickey, through various Bible studies and other ministries that she was involved in at church, she had me, everybody praying for me, praying for my salvation. And I think they all felt invested in that moment, and that my hard heart would open up and turn soft and take a and accept Christ. And at the same time, during that journey, I was doing a lot of work on it. I was really was. I mean, I didn't have any question that God was real, and or that Christ was real. It was just some of the other mechanics of it. Surrendering your life to Christ, and living that life, and then going from there. But everybody in that church had been praying for me, and I found that to be, truly humbling, and I also saw the power of it, a prayer in that moment, and it's a moment I'll never forget. Now, the thing about it is, I didn't get baptized until July 31st, 1994. I waited a few months, and I can remember I did that for a reason. And it was coaching youth baseball. I remember inviting my son's youth baseball team. We had a perfect season that way, by the way,
There
Jason.
you
We
go.
won all our games. I do
Dominant.
believe in winning, that we were dominant, but we had our whole team sitting in the pews as I was baptized. I wanted them to see it. Even many of those who were not necessarily church-going families or believers. But
That's great.
so that was that moment right there. All I can tell you is, from there, it was like it was it it began a far different journey for me, and it didn't necessarily mean that I became a perfect person, because, as none of us are perfect. We're all sinners.
That's right.
We sin every day, and it just allowed me to live in the state of grace. And justification ensure my place, that when I do leave this earth, that I'm going on to heaven and all the glories of whatever is in store for us.
I love
I gotta admit now, Jason, I am selfish right now. I
that.
want my time on earth. I want it. I want more time. And I've made that prayer several times. Lord, forgive me for it's not that I lack the faith that I know there's a there's a better place for me once I leave this world. But I'm selfish about the time I have with my family, with my friends. I feel like I haven't finished the race. Apparently I haven't, otherwise he would have taken me by now.
Right.
If he takes me by the time this podcast runs, Jason, then you know it was time.
Right.
But I don't feel bad about praying for more time, despite my faith, despite my belief. But I will say this, whenever that time comes, I'm excited to see what heaven is. I mean, I know people have written a lot of books on it. I'd like to say share one last thing about the journey to Christ here real quick.
Please.
How people use others in your life. And there are many other people in my life who certainly, you know, were involved in my faith walk. But really it goes back to, Mickey, our home in Fairburn, Georgia, which, was nearby Landmark Christian School, which is where we sent our son Alex to school. But we had a house that had an intercom system. And, you know, I'd sit up on the second story and kind of work at a desk up there on my NFL stuff. This is before basically real cell phones.
Yeah.
And, you did all your work, much differently than you do now. But she there was Christian radio on that she would turn on. And it's just funny how that volume seemed to increase through the house. I wasn't on the phone necessarily all the time.
Right.
But there were some great pastors, ministers who were come on and have a half hour. Two that came back to back were Tony Evans, who's out of Dallas, and then Dr. David Jeremiah from Turning Point Ministries. And that's an amazing story in itself, because just that constant daily feeding of the Word and listen to men of God teach the Word. I love great teachers of the Word, as opposed to the fire and brimstone type.
Yes.
Even though those have served their purpose too, but I can tell you, it was just like as if that seed had been planted and was growing constantly through that daily. That intercom, because I can remember going to San Diego, this is after I'd accepted Christ, and I can remember saying, I am going to meet Dr. David Jeremiah. And I think it was the Super Bowl when John Elway, when the Broncos and Packers played, and it was John Elway's first Super Bowl win. I remember it that way, because we used to go on the weekend before the Super Bowl, have our show. In this case, we weren't having a show, but I went in anyways, and I went in there, and I drove out to Escondido, and grabbed the front row seat for Dr. David Jeremiah. Next thing I know, I was eating lunch at his place after the church service.
Wow.
So I kind of gave you a little bit of a twisted version, but that was that's from that day forward, my life changed.
And that was Chris Mortensen from February 20th, 2019 on the Sports Spectrum podcast. He passed away today at age 72 as I record this Sunday, March 3rd, 2024. I'm going to miss him. I'm grateful that we had many chats about Jesus. My last text, text thread with him was on Christmas of all times, talking about the birth of Christ. And so I'm grateful that Mort is now dancing with Jesus and rejoicing in heaven with our Lord, but going to miss him. He was one of the best. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you next time here on Sports Spectrum.